Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready? Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also get us on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is The Real. At Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. And if you want to watch on Twitch and comment there, feel free. Miss the first hour. Missed AJ being wrong. No. Tweet. You can only allow to tweet about your job.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then we were just.
And then we started talking sports and we got into a big fight. Yeah. And we hit each other during the break.
713 brings up a really good point, which kind of makes both of our points in different ways. Says the game specifically is embarrassing, but the team is embarrassing because they mortgage the organization's future for this year if they lose. I think that's fair.
Yeah. I mean, I can see where you'd say the franchise has put themselves in an embarrassing spot where they're just accepting of mediocrity. I believe that.
Yeah. Well, and that's a point I'm trying to make. I don't really care who the opponent is, to be honest with you.
Okay. What I'm saying is these two teams are not that far apart from each other as far as, you know, the how good they are.
I'll tell you what, this time next year, I would take the Bills right now. Because I think the Bills are going to go out and get a big receiver, which they need. And that defense will be a year better. And I think Allen will be a year better.
I mean, the Bills need to find like a better answer at running back. I mean, they've got a couple guys that are getting them through. But
I think they should be able to.
And they need Josh Allen to continue to develop. And he's gotten better. But that dude wasn't even supposed to be playing yet. Like, he was supposed to be a long-term project, and he basically got thrown in the fire. And I think, like, where he is now compared to, like, when he was drafted, everybody thought, oh, the Bills are screwed. They'll never be any good with him. I think that he's better than people thought he would be, but I think he's still got a long way to go before he's, like, a guy who can actually do something in the playoffs.
He has such a unique skill set. I didn't realize he could run as well as he can until last year when he actually outran Lamar Jackson last year.
Yeah.
And having a gun for an arm. I do think, though, I mean, the potential is there for him to be something special, but I don't think he's there yet. But I wanted to kind of get to something we were messing around with on the break. And I guess you guys were, I don't know if you and John were talking about this, about whether or not Deshaun Watson's elite. Can we just start with he's not?
Yeah. This was one of those, I don't know what show it was, one of those roundtable ESPN shows was saying, does Deshaun Watson have to win this game to be considered elite? I don't care if Deshaun Watson wins this game or not. That's not enough to put you in the elite category. And losing this game doesn't mean that you'll never be elite. But right now, Deshaun Watson's nowhere near a conversation of elite quarterbacks. And I'll be honest, over the last year, 2 years, I think the number of elite quarterbacks has shrunk to about two. Like, I think that as you see the Tom Brady decline, no one thinks Tom Brady's elite anymore, right? Like, there's nobody who looks at him today, Tom Brady.
Not even Giselle. No.
No. Like, nobody's watching the Patriots this year and going, you know what? Tom Brady's still one of the two or three best quarterbacks in the NFL. You put him on any roster, they're winning. No, that's not happening. I think that Aaron Rodgers is tough because it's not like he's expired, but he's certainly not as great as he used to be. He still takes really good care of the ball, which I respect quite a bit, but the upside of him isn't what it used to be.
I think we've seen the best of him. I think whatever comes next,
there's a down arrow, certainly.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to suddenly improve.
Drew Brees, as good as he is, and he's still better than most, I don't think Drew Brees is peak Drew Brees.
He's had an elite career, but I don't know that makes him still elite.
Honestly, the guy, if I came up with a group of quarterbacks right now that I consider elite, the best of the best in the NFL, it's Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson. And during the break, you said, well, Lamar Jackson had an elite season, certainly, but it's one season.
But there are guys capable of having elite seasons like he's done. Carson Wentz was having an elite season when he got hurt.
Jared Goff had an elite season.
Derek Carr, Matt Ryan had an elite season. I mean, guys can have an elite season, but to be consistently great,
you need to consistently have those type of seasons.
So I kind of wanted to do something here, and we'll probably have to do it next segment because...
It's all right. We're here all day. Well, we're here till 7, Fred.
I don't feel like I've done enough radio today. No. To be honest with you. But I want to go through Watson's game log, okay? And I just want you to tell me, you know, we'll rank it three ways: an elite game, a good game, or below average.
Okay. Well, there's no bad games.
Below average is bad.
Oh, okay.
Because
you just say it nicely.
Yeah, I'm saying it in a nice way. Just like when you have employees in and you say does not meet expectations as opposed to you suck. Yeah. So below average is going to be bad or below average. I mean, I think three is fine. But I want to go through and find out how many games he actually had that you would consider elite. And then let's have that conversation. I don't think it's going to contradict anything that's just been said. How's that?
Okay.
All right. Tell them about TGS.
Oh, yes. Everybody wants to know, how can I save money on insurance without talking to an agent? I don't like talking to agents. I don't blame you. I wouldn't want to talk to them either. TGS, though, they know that you don't like that. They know you don't want the hassle, but you want the savings. That's why they've made it simple. They've built a system that gives you a firm insurance quote on your home. Well, they do more than just home, but we'll talk home here in 15 seconds. What? All you got to do is send your address and you're going to save money. Grab your phone. Well, you'll probably save money. Grab your phone now. Text the word money to 232323. They'll ask for your address. You reply back. They're going to send you a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. The average customer from last year saved over $870 on home insurance. That could be you, bro. $870 you could save this year. And you don't even need to wait for your renewal because TGS will take care of the back end. You can sit back, free your mind, and just save that dough. One more time, text the word money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote. Start saving big today.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. I have people still sharing job stuff. I did about an hour's worth of work this morning and then pretended the rest of the day. Was really just watching the rest of Jack Ryan Season 2 and starting Shot Caller.
Yeah, I wouldn't hire most of you.
Randy, just checking to make sure your lights are on at your house and your office.
Oh, yeah. Someone's got to do it.
All right. When you look at the overall numbers for Deshaun Watson.
All right.
3,852 yards passing. We're at 15 games, right? So he averaged 256.8, 26 touchdowns. His quarterback rating, traditional quarterback rating, was 98.
Well, it's QBR. The only stat that matters anymore, right?
Well, that's now you're going to make me go to the ESPN page to get the damn total QBR stuff because they don't have a game log on there.
68.9.
Okay, which is what, top seven?
Seven, yeah. Right between Russell Wilson and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, who finished up really strong. The top five, Lamar Jackson, 81.1, not shocked. Patrick Mahomes, 78, not shocked. Drew Brees, 74.2. Dak Prescott, 71.2, little shocked.
Oh, you're looking at raw QBR.
Oh, am I looking at the raw?
Yeah,
oh,
okay. Total QBR. I mean, it's the same order, but just different numbers.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Just
so 71.8 for Brees, 76 for Mahomes, 70.6 for Prescott, and Stafford, 70.2. Now, Deshaun,
when I think elite, I think Stafford.
But Deshaun was over 70 most of the season, and this is kind of what I'm concerned about.
Honestly, if you're over 60,
we've had a good
season. It's not bad.
No, but I mean, he was actually over 70 up until the last three games that he played, which frankly weren't very good. We'll get to those. All right, so just going through the first game against New Orleans, and I've got his regular quarterback rating for that. I don't have his QBR for it, so I just have to go with that. 20 of 30, 268, three TDs, one interception, four carries for 40 yards, another touchdown, a 114.3 rating. I would say if we're going to go elite, good, or below average, I'd say good, right?
I would say good.
Okay. Jacksonville, game two. 16 of 29, completed 55% of his passes.
I remember that game. I can already tell you now that was not a good, that was below average game.
He rushed four times for 5 yards. He had one rushing touchdown, no passing touchdowns.
Yeah, that was not good.
So we're going to go below average. At the Chargers.
I think I remember that game, and I think this is going to fall under the elite category.
Well, 25 of 34 for 351, three touchdowns, no picks.
That's elite level play right there. There's another game that I've got mentally circled.
There's one other one the Carolina loss. I think we can go with
not elite,
below average, definitely.
Well below average.
All right, are you keeping track of this in there,
Aaron? Are you keeping a tally mark?
No, but I will now.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so we've got a good, we've got two below averages and an elite. All right. Here's the other one that will be elite because the best game of his career
is Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Yeah.
158.3 rating, 28 of 33, five TDs, no picks, four rushes for 47 yards.
Yeah, that was a well above average day.
Yeah, that's the best. I think
that's the best game he's ever played.
I don't know, because there's one other one that the numbers aren't as good, but I thought he was really good. But we'll get to that.
Okay.
Okay. At Case,
I tweeted about that being maybe his best game, and people got mad at me. They're like, "Oh, you forget the Atlanta game." Yeah, I forgot that blowout game
against a team that couldn't stop anybody at the time. Yeah, let's also remember that was Will Fuller's one good game of his career. Let's not lose sight of that. Okay, KC, 30 of 42, 280, one touchdown, two picks, 10 carries, 42 yards, two touchdowns, a 77.5 quarterback rating.
They won that game, though. His numbers
They won that game, but I don't think he's the reason they won that game. And I think we're going to see a lot of this moving forward. I'm going to go, that was a below average performance.
Okay.
Indianapolis the next week, they lost. Threw for 308 yards, but two picks.
Yeah, that's not good.
I'm going to go with below average there. Oakland. 27 of 39, 279, three TDs, 10 carries, 46 yards.
That's a good game.
That's a good game. Jacksonville in London.
That's a tough one to call because he wasn't asked to do anything.
No, like but live.
He was very efficient.
I thought live watching that game, I thought he played terrific. He extended plays.
He was good.
Not big numbers, but I'm going to go with that's a good game. Baltimore, I don't think we even need to talk about. We know that's
below
average.
Not a good game?
No. All right. The Indy win at home, 19 of 30. 298, two TDs, one pick. Only rushed three times for 10 yards. 104.6 for his rating.
I thought he was good in that game. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I don't think I don't think they sacked him a bunch like that.
No,
honestly,
he was sacked one time.
Honestly, that's something we should take into account, because some of these games, like if you get sacked five or six times, it's hard to say that was a really good game.
Well, pretty much every game that we've put on the below average list has had three sacks or more. So
okay.
Indy, he got sacked once. So
good day.
Good day. All right. New England, I think we'll agree, is a good day.
That's the game that I looked at and I was like, and statistically, it's not eye popping, but that's probably the best game I've ever seen Deshaun play. And it's probably the best game I ever saw Bill O'Brien call.
Now, here's what he's done since. Denver, 28 of 50.
We can skip that.
Yeah. 292, two picks. Sacked three times. All right,
and most of his yardage came once the game was out of
reach.
A
lot of garbage yards there.
That was a disaster.
The Tennessee win. 19 of 27, 243, two touchdowns, two picks, rushed for 32 yards, only one sack.
It wasn't a bad game, but it wasn't anything special.
Okay, that, I think, is just average. And I honestly, maybe even a little below average, because Quarterback rating is right at average. I'm going to put that in the below average category. In the Tampa game, he was below average, too.
Yes.
I don't think there's any doubt. No touchdown passes, a pick.
And sacked 1 million times.
Sacked 5 times.
But he was better than Jameis, I think.
Well, that's all he had to be.
That's all you got to do.
So add that up.
15 games.
Yeah, 15 games.
What's our total tally here?
7 below average games, 4 good games, and 2 elite games.
Okay. I thought we had 3 elite games.
No, I think we had. I think you wanted to give New England.
I want to count
game.
New England as all an
right,
elite
so,
game.
Okay. So switch that to an elite, and then give me a new.
So now we're at.
Did that add up, by the way?
No, I think that was he had 7-4-2. That's 13.
Yeah, I'm not good at math.
I missed the Kansas City one. What did you rate? You rated that as?
Where's our Asian
man?
Kansas City game was. What did you decide on that?
I decided below average.
Okay.
77.5 quarterback rating. That's below average.
Okay.
All right. That's still only one game, and you were missing two, but that's okay.
The long point being, I think Deshaun has the potential to be elite. I do think that Deshaun currently has an anchor tied to his leg.
I agree.
You know, so I don't know when he'll be elite. I don't know if he'll ever meet his true potential, but I know right now. He's not in the discussion for being an elite quarterback.
No, because for that, you need to have more elite performances than you do below average performances.
Yeah.
Or as many. How's that?
Like, you take a look at Patrick Mahomes' game log, and this was Patrick Mahomes in a season where he was basically hurt all year, playing around with one leg. Well, look at his game log and tell me how many times you go, oh my God, I'd take that stat line every time. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, there was, I think, maybe 2, maybe 3 games that you look at and say, okay, those were below average.
Right.
Out of all the games he played. And I'd have to go back and look at it. But and one of them was, the last game he didn't have that great a game against the Chargers. That was probably one of them. And the other ones, he was dealing with an ankle injury.
Yep.
So, and to me, that's your definition of elite. Plus, he's got an elite coach.
All right, let's see if this math adds up. He had 3 elite games. 4 good games, and 8 below average games.
So basically half and half. Okay, that makes you average to slightly above average because the elites count for more points. But that does not make you anywhere near elite.
Like I said, I think there's a small group of quarterbacks in the league that I even consider are in the discussion for being elite.
It doesn't mean that elite quarterbacks don't have bad games.
Certainly they do.
Because it happens. And Yo, Adrian says Pat Mahomes also doesn't have O'Brien as his head coach.
That's what I'm talking about, the anchor strapped to his leg. That when I say the anchor strapped to Deshaun's leg, I meant Bill O'Brien. It's an anchor with a playbook in his hand and a scowl on his face.
Well, and the thing is, for them to win, he's going to have to play one of those above-average games or elite games, which is back to my point. If he does that, they should win. If he doesn't, they could easily lose this game, and they could lose it big time. So, I don't know why I keep getting the same question: O'Brien or Garrett, gun to head, which coach you take? I don't want either one of them. And you know, honestly, they're both the same guy. I don't know why we keep getting that question. I don't want either one.
I don't want either one.
I don't think either one of them is anything special. Black Spotted Zebra. Boss has had me do math on the fly. Aaron is blitzed. Tweet about work. Yeah, good point. Good point.
Boss has complained that I'm not Asian.
Yep. Oh, man. I mean, you only missed it by 2 games. I mean, it's you know, depending on your standard. I mean, by a Texan standard, that's pretty good. That's an AFC South title. By anybody else's? All right, we'll do picks on the games when we come back. People keep asking. I don't have I don't have any plays this week on the NFL. I have a couple that I might look at, but I'm not all that I'm not all enamored with these games. There's one that I'll probably play.
Okay.
How's that for a tease?
Yeah, I'm not feeling great about the card either, but we'll discuss it.
And the one I'm going to play, I'll play on mybookie.ag. Because, guys, even now, if you're watching the college game, you want to jump in and bet in-game, you can do it. That's a great thing about mybookie. I love the in-game. It gives me all kinds of opportunity to jump in and play stuff. We saw, we talked to Brad. He did it yesterday, and it worked out. He bet Cincinnati second half. You can do all that on mybookie. And when you win, you get paid. Nobody pays out faster, which is awesome. You get your cash when you want it. And the other cool thing is, if you sign up today and you're new, they're going to double your first deposit. That's up to $1,000. Just use promo code radio, and you'll get that exclusive double your money offer. That's mybookie.ag, promo code radio. Make sure you pick the bonuses that are best for you when you go on there. And if you're already signed up, they're going to give you reload bonuses. They're going to give you special event bonuses. Just keep an eye on your email, because they're going to send it to you all the time. Or just go to the website, and they'll give and check out all the bonuses they have on there. They will work it for you. Use promo code radio right now to get that exclusive double your money offer. Play, win, get paid. MyBookie. Tap realest on my face. Lil CC, let it slap with the bass. I used to save, put a mask in a cave. Now I'm like, nah, love, I'm good, go away. Ain't about to die with no money I done gave you. You gonna answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
So am I still waiting for this world to stop hating? Can't find a good reason, can't find hope to believe in.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Just for fun, I was looking at Patrick Mahomes on the break. 14 games, 7 elites, which I think is pretty good.
It's pretty that's good.
Yeah. 5 good games, 2 below average games.
Okay.
Both of which I think back to back it was the Colts and Texans, where his QBR was 50.4 and 55 when he had an ankle injury. So that's significant. Just saying. 713-780 ESPN is your number. All right, let's talk about some of these games. If I'm going to play anything on the Texans, it'll be under. I don't like the number.
I like a first half under. I think more than anything in this game.
Maybe so, because Allen could get going in the second half, but. To me, the spread should be 3. So 2.5. I'm like,
Yeah, if it were 3, I'd probably like the Bills. Anything between, I think if it were a pick, I'd probably take the Texans. Anything in between, there's just not value in a number for me.
Yeah, and the over-under's gone up to 43, which...
Well, a lot of that, we talked about this a couple weeks ago when I told you the Bills moved their OC up into the booth, and they've started to run tempo. So the Bills are now, like, since week 6, I think the Bills are one of the 3 or 4 highest paced tempo teams in the league, because they're getting to the line early. The OC's passing a play down based on what he sees from the coverage, and they're going way faster than they were early in the season. I think maybe that's why you're seeing that number go up, because their last few games, you've seen them run a lot more plays. Their overall season numbers don't show them as a high-tempo team. But again, if you look at the last 10 games of the season, they're one of the highest.
Be interesting, though, because usually in the playoffs, everybody slows it down. It'll be interesting.
Hopefully I don't think Bills are willing to do that, because if they do that, then they're going to have Josh Allen trying to read defenses and make these decisions by himself, and I don't think they trust him to do that.
The one game that I'm looking at, I haven't pulled the trigger on yet, but if I do play a game this weekend, it's going to be Titans +5 against the Patriots.
Yeah, I want to bet the Titans too, but there's so many things that tell you it's a bad idea. It's first time playoff quarterback against Belichick. It's look at Ryan Tannehill's career numbers, and then look at his career numbers versus Belichick. It ain't good. Their best weapon, A.J. Brown, is going to be up against Stephon Gilmore. There's there's just a lot of things that make me go, oof.
And I don't think Derrick Henry is going to be able to run the ball against the Patriots the way that he's been able to run it over against most everybody else.
I also don't know if the Titans will have an answer for James White out of the backfield. And that's the Patriots have been feasting. That's when their offense is good, is when they play a team who can't cover a back out of the backfield, because all of a sudden it's like, oh, we've got an offense, because that's
right.
That's what they're limited to. So there's a lot of things that make me want to play the Texans, and it's mostly because there's been a lot of regression with the Pats, but then it's Pats at home. I just don't know if this number is good enough for me to say it's right.
Like, do you trust Mike Vrabel enough in this game?
That's another thing. A Belichick guy, and not that he's off his coaching tree, but he coached him. I mean, they know each other.
And, yeah, he's got a pretty good record against those guys.
Although he got his ass whooped by one last week.
Yeah, and by Matt Patricia last year.
Yeah, it's
does happen.
There's part of me that wants to take the Titans, but I also think that you may actually, for the first time ever, be getting a short number on the Patriots at home, which I would have never thought there'd be such a thing. But
the season, if you'd said this was the playoff matchup, what do you think the number would have been?
Well, the first question I'd ask is, why are the Patriots playing on Wild Card Weekend?
Because they lost to the Dolphins.
And I known that. I don't know what the... But I would say this number, if it were 7, I'd love the Titans here. Anything short of that, I feel like I could see it going wrong.
Like I said, I want to play the Titans. I'm trying to talk myself into it. But I also don't want to overreact to last week's loss to the Dolphins and the fact that the Titans beat up the Texans' third string.
Yeah.
It's real easy to look at those two and say, ooh, that 5 looks appealing. But, you know, I've also watched the Patriots all year, and there's nothing about them that tells me, hey, they're better than this Titans team.
One of the things that we talked about, I did 9-11 with John this morning, and one of the things I brought up was in the AFC playoffs, the 6 quarterbacks have combined for 31 playoff wins. Tom Brady has 30 of those.
Yeah, I saw that stat earlier today.
Mahomes won a game last year. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Ryan Tannehill, Deshaun Watson combined for a whopping 0. So it's just hard when you that's the other thing. Ryan Tannehill's had a better season than Tom Brady, right?
Yeah, no question.
But is there any part of you in a one-game scenario where they say, okay, which guy do you want? That you go, you know what? I'll take Tannehill. I can't make myself do it.
And the one thing I still think and maybe this is just flawed thinking, but I still think the Patriots can ratchet it up a gear in the playoffs. And I think we've seen the best of the Titans. And
I'm still of the belief with both of those AFC games, if you like the dog, that there is a teaser in play that I think would, I mean, because both those teams, it's hard for me to picture the Bills or the Titans getting blown out.
Yeah.
So I think if you did tease a teaser on that, I think that you're probably safe, because the Patriots really aren't blowing out anybody, and the Bills aren't getting blown out. So to me, that
and on the flip side of it, you know, earlier discussion aside, if the Texans come out and play like they did against Denver, they could easily get blown out.
Right.
So on to the Sunday games. Saints now outside of a touchdown. That's too much for me. It's 7.5. I think I'd lean Viking there.
I like the Vikings too, outside of a touchdown. I'd like that number to get to 8, because then that's another game that I'll use as a tease piece. And I'll that's a game that actually, I think there's teaser possibilities on both sides. I think if you can get the Vikings to 14, I think there's value in that number. If the number's at 7 and you tease it down to 1 for the Saints, I think there's value in that number. I think that if I just had to play this game straight, I probably lean to the team catching a touchdown.
Well, outside a touchdown right now.
I think it's an over game. I think both teams have some success. I think the Vikings, even though their defensive metrics say they're very good, I don't know if I believe it. I know that doesn't make sense, but when I watch them play, I'm like, they're good, but are they the 4th best defense or 3rd best, whatever their stats say they are? I don't think so. I think the Saints defense is good, but can obviously be had. I think a lot of what this game will boil down to is which running back gets it going. And if Dalvin Cook can return to sort of the midseason Dalvin Cook form, the Vikings have a good shot. If Alvin Kamara is the Alvin Kamara of like the last 2 weeks and the first 2 weeks of the season, the Vikings are in trouble.
Yeah.
If he's Alvin Kamara of weeks 3 through 15 and he's just not going to show up and do anything, I think the Saints might be in trouble. I think one of these teams is going to have to establish a good run game.
The only thing I would say about that is if Kamara doesn't play well, I trust the Saints to be able to still move the football with Drew Brees and Michael Thomas. I don't know that I still trust the Vikings.
I think it's hard to be a good offense, especially against a team like the Vikings, if you're one-dimensional.
It is, but they've managed to pull it off most of the season because Kamara hasn't been good
right
for most of the season. But I guess I would trust that more than I would trust, if you make the Vikings one-dimensional, Kirk Cousins.
Yes.
But I do think you're going to see a healthy Dalvin Cook, and I think the over is probably the play there. And I would lean towards Vikings at 7.5 outside of a touchdown. I think these two teams are closer than that spread, but I can also see a scenario where the Saints run away and hide from them.
Yeah.
And the one thing, I don't want to hear any more about the damn Minneapolis miracle, just like I don't want to hear any more about Oilers Buffalo. Come on. It's not even the same team in the Oilers case. And then Seahawks -2 at the Eagles. Boy, that game's moved all the way from Seahawks +3.
Yeah, it was Eagles -3 for about 2 seconds. That wasn't going to fly. But this is a tough game to call. It's a good game to tease, because I think if you can get the Eagles up over a touchdown, I think you're probably in good shape. I think that this is a low scoring game. I know everybody's saying, well, these two teams don't play defense, and the Seahawks defense is not all that great, but I don't think either one of these teams has a bunch on offense, really. And the Seahawks we saw last week, their run game, their offense is so predictable based on what running back's on the field. Like this Homer kid, nice player, but when he's on the field, you know that they're running the ball, or you know they're passing the ball.
Yeah.
When Marshawn Lynch is out there, you know they're running the ball. And Marshawn Lynch, by the way, had no success because they knew they were running the ball every time he was on the field. So when you're predictable like that, it's tough to have much faith in the offenses. And obviously the Eagles have so many problems on offense. If Ertz plays, I think that opens up some things for them. I think Brandon Brooks is out. I know Lane Johnson is questionable.
Yeah.
I know Dwayne Brown, I think he's questionable, maybe out. A lot of key offensive guys are missing from both these teams. I think it's kind of a rock fight.
I feel like if the Seahawks come out and attack the Eagles secondary, they should win the football game.
But will they?
Well, and that's the question. So, all right, there you have it. There's all your game stuff. We'll dive in a little deeper with the boys at 6 o'clock. We come back, got a little gym of the day. It's another good one. Not as good as yesterday's. Yesterday's was kind of the perfect gym.
Yesterday's
of the day.
Was elite. Today's is pretty good.
This one's pretty good.
Okay.
It's also the kind of person, if they broke into my house, they would get shot.
Oh.
There's your tease. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And I was remiss earlier when I mentioned that Jerry Bowe and Jason Braddock would be doing late hits at 7. I forgot to mention that Juggy Trey will also be here.
Oh, yes.
So... my apologies.
Juggy Trey is very worried that he's going to be drafted into World War III.
Really?
Yeah. He already started coming up with bone spurs and stuff like on Twitter. He's not interested.
I think he'll be okay.
I think Trey'd be a hell of a troop. Not going to lie.
You would know.
Yeah. I saw guys like Juggalo Trey get molded into monsters in basic training. Monsters. I think Trey could be the next great Navy SEAL.
Okay. Wouldn't you want him in the Rangers, since that's what you
that
were training?
Too. Yeah. Hmm.
Okay, just checking.
SEAL Team Juggalo does sound good, though.
That does sound kind of badass, yes. Right? All right, let's do the...
Trey, they've got green berets. I mean, I know Trey likes to wear, like, strange colored hats. He's got, like, a teal hat and a purple hat. They'll give you a green hat.
No, I think he'd be part of the raspberry berets. That would just be my thought. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
All right, AJ, tell me how you would react to this. You're asleep.
Oh, I react well to that.
And suddenly you wake up.
Ooh, not so. Not, that's, I don't like that.
To discover a male intruder at the foot of your bed.
Sucking, what's he wearing?
I don't know, but he's sucking your toes. Apparently, the victim was sleeping in his bedroom when the suspect somehow entered his residence. When the victim awoke around 3:30 a.m., his toes were in the creepy stranger's mouth.
I got to tell you, this is why, like, situations just like this story, this is why I got a German Shepherd.
Well, yeah. Hey, man. I guarantee you.
This, a well-trained dog, that would never happen to me.
I'm pretty sure, you know, I've got loud enough dogs that this wouldn't happen. But says the victim asked the suspect what he was doing. Assuming that he was about to be robbed, the victim declared that he did not have any money. In response, the suspect told him he was there to suck toes.
Oh, well.
The victim then began throwing punches at the intruder, forcing him out of the house and into the yard. And as he was being driven from the home, the suspect told the victim he had a gun and then attempted to fondle the victim's genital area. However, a gun was never seen during the altercation.
Black spot is deeper. Treated a picture of Carrot Top and said Juggalo Trey after basic training.
Perfect. Well played. Well, the Blitzers have been on their game today, man.
That's strong.
That's between the job tweets and everything else. But, So
there was no gun.
No, there was no gun.
Did the guy get away with it? Like, did he vanish into the night?
Well, the victim ran back inside, dialed 911. The suspect punched out.
They're like, sir, this is for emergencies. Yeah, a guy was sucking my toe. Yeah, but is it a life-threatening toe sucking, sir?
They, when the police arrived, they were unable to locate the intruder, who was bloodied by punches thrown from the victim. They did use DNA swabs to collect blood evidence. And the intruder was a black male between the ages of 20 and 25 who was bald. The victim said that he heard
a black guy?
Yeah, heard his hands beating up the intruder.
I didn't see that coming.
Cops have not arrested anyone in connection with the home invasion, which they have classified as a felony burglary with assault battery and a felony criminal mischief. Of course, it's criminal mischief. I got to tell you, you come into my home and you're sucking on my toes, you better be Scarlett Johansson. And even then, I'm probably shooting her.
Yeah.
It's just not my thing. And that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
I had so many good ones that I'm not going to get to this week, like the possum drop on New Year's Eve. Did you hear about this? A North Carolina town had a possum drop, and of course they had to get rid of it because apparently a possum got an infection last year. And the possum's in a box, and it's a possum. The hell?
Yeah, I don't like possums, but I don't know that you need to drop them off a roof either.
Well, but I mean, they just lowered it like they do the New Year's Eve ball.
There's actually a documentary called Don't F with Possums that I just watched.
I see. Yeah. No, all they did was, like, you know, in New York, they lower the ball nice and slow. They just lowered a possum in a box nice and slow. That and the other thing I had is Bumble not letting Sharon Stone on its
website. I know. Come on, man. A lot of dudes who would have liked that action.
Definitely. Believe me, if I were single, I'd be on. I'm trying my best. But she said, I went on the Bumble dating site and they closed my account. Some users reported that it couldn't possibly be me. Says, don't shut me out. Well, apparently.
Yeah, when Sharon Stone's having a hard time getting laid, you know that.
Yeah, that's, I mean, even at her age, all she's got to do is like show one of those scenes from Basic Instinct, right? And everybody's like, oh, okay.
By the way, Basic Instinct also plays heavily into Don't F with Cats.
Does it?
Yep.
Okay.
You got to watch this show, Fred.
Yeah, I'll maybe this weekend. I mean, obviously, I got to work the damn Texans game tomorrow, which, you know, wouldn't really, really. Well played, sir. All right. Got an hour to go. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.